Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Rupp and Jason Sakanek.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. 401 here on The Fan with Isaac and Suk. Dan Lanning, Oregon coach, joins us now for his weekly visit as the Ducks get set to take on Stanford. It's a late one, 8 o'clock kick Saturday night. Coach, how's your week?
Doing good, doing good. How you guys been?
Oh, great.
I gotta ask, which is a better feeling when you you have a BYU blowout win and you get to relax throughout the game? Or when you pull one out like you did against Washington State, and it's you know, it's neck and neck, but you pull it out, you make big plays at the end, and you get that euphoric high. Which one of those, like, the next day feels better to Dan Lanning when he wakes up?
Gosh, wins are always good, but I don't know. You know, both of those games you walk away with saying, okay, there's some stuff we really got to get better at. And I'm not great at just winning and focusing on the things that went good. I spend a lot of time focusing on the things we got to get better at.
Yeah, you are straight work, and I admire that. Like, where did you learn that? I guess how have you honed the way you go about your business? Because you always preach focus on the things that matter. Where did that come from, and who?
Man. Probably more than anything, just observations over time about, you know, a lot of the teams that I've been on. And I think anybody can speak to, you know, teams that have success. If they get caught up in the success, then they're really quick to stumble. It's coming. It's coming quick, right? And you have to be hungry with the details and hungry with the opportunity to get better and improve. Otherwise, it'll catch you before you know it.
Do you have to strike a balance? Do you allow yourself, because obviously it's focused, and you look at some of the programs you come from and, you know, very intense coaches out there. And, you know, sometimes we always ask whether it's you're talking about a Bill Belichick or Kirby Smart or Nick Saban. You're like, do these guys ever have fun? Or is it like, is it at the end of the year? Or do you allow yourself kind of those moments when you get home with family and friends where you allow to, you know, to kind of, I don't know, at least enjoy, you know, some of the great things that come along with this game?
Yeah, there's moments like that, and I try to make sure that we do a good job of enjoying those moments when they come. You're always going to enjoy a win, right? You always celebrate a win. There's no such thing as a bad win. You know, that being said, it's a pretty intense profession, and it requires a high level of focus. And, you know, really your opportunity to let your hair down a little bit is probably somewhere around July 4th, you know, but outside of that, you got to be pretty focused. And it's just kind of what's required.
Okay. Then let's look at the good and then we'll look at the bad. The good, 624 yards of offense. The bad, red zone. What was happening? You guys are moving the ball at will, dominant. You get into the red zone. Was it more, or is it a kind of a combination, something that Washington State was doing as the field got shorter, or was it a lack of execution? What was it where the offense looked so good until you really got inside the 10?
Yeah, it's really a combination of both. You know, they threw some good wrinkles in there for us that we expected but probably didn't get enough work on during the week. You know, we had a couple self-inflicted wounds, whether it be a, you know, costly interception or a penalty that when we get down there, you make it harder on yourself to go score. I think we rectified some of those things, obviously, in the second half, and we're able to go take advantage of them. But, yeah, it's a combination of both, them doing a good job executing and us having to do a better job there.
On that pick six, bad throw or great play?
I think Bo would tell you he wants to have it back and could deliver that one a little bit quicker. Mm-hmm. You know, but also you got to give them credit for playing the play really well. They did a good job there of executing.
How many so you said, I mean, we've talked about this for a couple of weeks, but you know, you talk about, even if it's not an interception, it's, you talk with Bo about, you know, did you jeopardize the ball? Did he do that? Yeah. It didn't seem like he did that much at all on Saturday. How many times did you come up with?
Outside of that play, there weren't very many. No, at the end of the day, I think the ball was delivered on point, and there was, you know, the other, you know, throw that was really a really tight window throw was that throw on fourth down to Bucky to convert and keep the drive moving, you know, but that was necessary in the moment to throw that ball. The rest of them, I think, most part, Bo made a really good decision getting rid of the ball when he needed to, or you know, putting the throw in tight when he needed to.
Yeah, I always say that, you know, I had an old coach used to say, hey, they're on scholarship too. And sometimes guys That's make right. plays. I that ball might have been a little bit late, but I thought that was a hell of a read by that linebacker undercutting that ball. And then same thing with Mace at the end of the game. I mean, he said that he had seen that play, he had drilled it. I mean, just talk about that. Right. You talk about to seal a game. I mean, that to me is that same thing. I don't think that was necessarily a bad ball by Cam Ward. I thought it was a great play by your player.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Coach LeBoy said it on Monday, right when we got back in to watch the film with our players. We kind of talked about it all week, left in space, hit the brakes, you know, and Mace is left there on a screenplay that they had some success on during the week. And really during the game, those guys were really successful in their screen game, and he did a good job of reacting to that and making a big-time ball play.
I want to ask you, so you guys score, it's a two-score game, you guys score and then you kick off and Washington State's got it, and I always feel like this. I feel like when teams get in that situation, they tend to get conservative. And and then the defense really, you know, it's like, hey, we need a three and out here. And do you get that sense sometimes that when you get that momentum, you score, you kick off, the defense is juiced, you got 4 minutes, we know you got to get the ball back. I feel like sometimes offenses shrink and defenses rise to the occasion. And I thought the moment I saw them come out of that huddle, it felt like the momentum was completely in your guys' in favor, even though you were still down.
Yeah. I don't know. It's hard for me to speak on the other teams, you know, their philosophy, their momentum. I know that we're a team that wants to always stay on the aggressive end of things. And our players, I think, have a really good understanding of certain situations that we're in. To our guys, we kept just kind of retracing back to, hey, this is the same thing we did in practice on Thursday. You know, these two-minute scenarios, these four-minute scenarios. But, yeah, it was certainly a unique situation to be where we were at when we were there. But to see our guys go execute was nice to see.
When you're on the sideline in a game like that, how often are you thinking ahead in terms of game management types of scenarios, like score, extra point, you know, things like
that?
We
talk about the end of a series before every series begins, right? So whether it's, hey, defense, let's be alert. We're going to be probably two-minute scenario coming up next time we have the ball or next time that we're on defense, or, hey, offense, let's be alert. This is going to be a two-point scenario if we score a touchdown. We try to hit that before every series starts. So we try to think, you know, kind of a score ahead in every one of those scenarios.
Okay, so we covered a lot of the good. Let's talk about it. Like you said, you know, how we get better here, how you improve. Mm-hmm. Washington State puts up 41. You know, they throw the ball a lot, struggle in space a little bit on that intermediate passing game. Maybe some tackling issues. What was it about Washington State's offense that was giving you guys so many problems?
Well, you just hit it all right there. We just got to fix that stuff, right?
That's easy, right? Yeah.
That was easy. Everything you just said. No, we got to tackle. We got to tackle better. We got to do better in space play. There weren't a lot of throws down the field outside of some trickeration on their part. Yeah. That they did a better job preparing their guys than we had in those scenarios. But we've got to play the screen game better. Got to tackle better in space, you know, defensively. And then, you know, that last touchdown obviously is one where we can't let the guys get behind us in a situation where they have to throw for the end zone. So, you know, there's certainly some coachable moments where we can do a lot better, and I think our guys will take pride in doing it better.
With some of the limitations now on practice and live tackling, and you know, this was a different offense than what you've seen. Is an offense like this and playing so much in space, and like you said, it's not really a vertical game, but they play sideline to sideline. Is that one of those things in today's game that just takes maybe a little bit longer to kind of click into, because it's hard to prepare for that unless you're seeing it on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, I'm not going to say that. That feels like an excuse to me for a poor performance on our part. We just got to perform better. We got to be able to simulate that better in practice and recreate it. And we can do better than what we did. So I could certainly sit here and say that's hard to prepare for. It is hard to prepare for, but we got to prepare every week for each team that we play. And I'm not going to lean in on an excuse on our part why we didn't execute the way we want to.
This is Oregon coach Dan Lanning with us here on 1080 The Fan. Back to the game management thing. Something that popped into my head. Are you at all an analytics guy in terms of, you know, like one example is you guys were only down 12, so this wouldn't necessarily apply. But down 14, the thought is you go for two both times you score if you get the two touchdowns because it's a 50-50 proposition. So even if you only get one, you still tie. Are you into that? Do you go over those scenarios? Are you aware of those scenarios? How much are you how much do you focus on that stuff?
We certainly are aware of it. I'm trying to decide right now if it gives me a competitive advantage to tell you.
We spend
a lot of time assessing situations within a game. And again, I think if you watch us play, you'll say, okay, wow, it seems like they made that decision relatively quick. Mm-hmm. And it's because we've made all those decisions during the week.
Yeah.
So some games might play towards that. More than others, but do we pay attention to those details? Yeah. Do we understand our chances of converting a 2-point conversion? Absolutely. We're certainly always aware of it. And I think a lot of times people don't realize that those decisions are also based on the amount of time left in a game too, right? Like if this happens in the second quarter, it's a little bit different than happening, with 4 minutes left to play. We certainly play to percentages. We're aware of those things. Ultimately, we still got to make the decision when it comes down to that moment in a game.
So is this one kind of one of those things where you said you were always thinking about the end of the drive even before it? So like you mentioned with the time.
That's
so,
right.
You're down two scores. There's an element of, we know what the chart says, but, based on when we score and all that. So I'm assuming that even though there's analytics involved, some of that has to be a little bit of a gut feeling because you're taking the analytics and combining it with all the other factors.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Like how you're playing, how your defense is playing. I think there's a factor of that has to be, assessed. And there might be a time in a game where analytics say you should go for it. And that doesn't necessarily always fit the philosophy of us. We've certainly followed it at times and certainly haven't at times. It's just based on situation.
So let's take a look at Stanford, different than Washington State. They've struggled to run the ball, lose their best running back for the year, but they've thrown it around a lot. And so the numbers are actually a little misleading. They've had 12 turnovers in their first couple of games, but they're moving the ball pretty well. What do you see from Stanford in this challenge?
Yeah, their offense does create some challenges just in the fact that they try to make sure they have a numbers advantage. They're running some of these slow mesh plays where the quarterback will ride and decide and has an opportunity to see, okay, does the hat count right to hand the ball off or is the hat count right to go ahead and throw the ball? And they've done a good job of making those decisions. Like you said, there's just been a couple contested balls that end up becoming takeaways, and that's hard to overcome. So they understand, football as well as anybody. Coach Shaw is a guy that I have obviously tremendous respect for and the job that he's done there. But they're going to be a good challenge for us to stop.
Describe Kenny Dillingham.
High energy, innovative, enthusiastic, a guy that's a team player. Kenny's a guy I've known for a long time. And, back when I was a GA at Arizona State and he was a high school coach at Chaparral High School, just getting to be around him and watching him grow over the years has been a lot of fun.
That's where you guys met, Arizona?
Yeah, I was a GA on staff there at Arizona State, and Kenny was a high school coach there at Chaparral High School.
Okay. Is he as intense as it seems?
Yeah, he enjoys the moment. I think he's like any coach. When you're, get a chance to have a fire and competitive nature, he's definitely one of those guys that can show that.
If we had to power rank intensity, you, Kenny, and Tosh, how do you rank them?
I don't know if I could. Yeah. That's depends on the moment of the game and the situation. I think all three of us can be pretty fiery at times.
All right, how about this? Live scrimmage camp. Does Tosh and Kenny, do we ever get a little trash talk going back and forth between the two when it's ones versus ones in the scrimmages?
Yeah, we don't spend a lot of time doing that. I mean, both guys get amped up for their side of the ball, but no, we don't, you know, we try to focus on the things that control the game. And, you know, again, Kenny and Tosh are not going to be playing any snaps for the Oregon Ducks this year, so true. It really doesn't matter.
Can we get a, before we cut you out of here, can we get a few songs? I know you have that game day playlist. What's on there?
Oh, gosh, there's all types of stuff. I mean, I got Last of the Mohicans. Kind of like that theme song. That's kind of like my go-to. But then I also got like 50 Cent, I'm the Man.
Nice.
There's, I mean, it's kind of all over the place, to be honest. Master P. There's a little bit of everything on there. So cool. It's a different list.
Yeah. All right. A Spotify playlist is what you're rocking?
No. I'm the Apple Music. Apple. iTunes. I think it's Apple. Just whatever's on your phone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
My Apple Music playlist.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right. All right, well, always great talking to you. Thank you, and good luck against Stanford.
All right, appreciate it. Have a good one.
All right, you too. Dan Lanning, every, what is today? Thursday?
Thursday.
At 4 o'clock here on The Fan.
Stanford should be, and you're at home, and you look at Stanford, and 12 turnovers, and this might be, I'm not going to say this is any kind of trap. Look, Stanford's not very good, plain and simple.
Yeah,
but
they're just a different type of challenge.
They're a different type of challenge, and you look at the fact that they're 1-2, and Stanford has really punished themselves. I mean, they beat Colgate, and they got blown out by USC. They got blown out by Washington, 41-28, 40-22. They were in both of those games and were moving the ball. But, again, you just aren't going to win games with 12 turnovers in three. So if Stanford cannot turn the ball over, they don't run the ball well, but you've been able to throw the ball against Oregon. And Tanner McGee, who's their quarterback, is a highly touted guy. So this may be one that if you sleep on this, Stanford might be able to hang around on this one, but nothing we've seen in the first 3 weeks should lead you to believe that at home, Oregon should be in a dogfight with Stanford.
You know what the other thing, too, is when you talk to Lanning and you just watch his teams play, and it's early, but my observation is, damn it, are they well coached.
Yeah.
To the point where with Cristobal's team, you remember they lost to Stanford last year.
Yep.
And had no business losing to Stanford last year. They totally choked that game away, right?
Yes.
I get the sense that they're just the, you know, when he talks about details and never letting up and, you know, all those things that sound like coach speak, they really do seem to embrace that. And that just leads you to be so much more confident that a loss like that Stanford loss last year just isn't happening. Georgia's really good.
Yes.
Okay. But a game like Stanford, and so nobody's really pissed off that, you know, I mean, you want the score to be different, but at the same time, it's like freaking Georgia.
You understand.
But when you lose that Stanford, that was so maddening about the last regime is you losing that Stanford game or playing down to your opponent. And you just get the sense, again, it's early, but you get the sense that this team isn't like that.
No, I think that there's I just think it's a better coaching staff, to be honest with you. I really do.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not trying to take shots at the
old staff.
Well,
it's basically they recruit just as well, if not better, and they're way better X's and O's wise, it seems.
I would tend to agree with
more
that.
More fun to watch, I can tell you that.
The one thing, if you're going to say one thing that gets that gets Oregon this year, that has to get better, because, I mean, they're going to beat Stanford and they're going to beat Arizona. You should, because these aren't very good football teams. But to get where they need to go, the tackling has to get better. And yeah, against Washington State, that is a unique challenge. But I appreciated the fact that he was like, dude, that's not an excuse. They weren't great tackling against Georgia. They did a much better job against BYU. But the Washington State game looked a lot more like Georgia from a tackling standpoint than it did Eastern Washington. And that may not bite you against Stanford. It may not bite you against Arizona. But when you get into that meaty part down at the end where you finish with Washington, Utah, and Oregon State, you have got to get that together where you are a better tackling team in open space.
All right, let's take a look at Thursday night football coming up next on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
I love this tune.
I get so lost.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes.
Great song.
Big Peter Gabriel guy over here.
I am too, Patrick. Peter Gabriel, I don't know that he's underrated because I think didn't he just get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I believe he did.
So he's probably not underrated, but he's overlooked, I think. He's greatness.
Sure. Well, I'm not the biggest Genesis guy.
Well, I mean, I think Phil Collins, you know, it's like, are you a Phil Collins guy? Are you a Peter Gabriel guy?
I feel like Phil Collins had a lot more commercial success.
And that's what I'm saying.
Gabriel's a little bit more out there.
I'm both, but Peter Gabriel's definitely the more talented of the two, I think.
But I feel like Phil Collins gets more credit than Peter Gabriel, which is kind of why I was like, you know,
that's what I mean.
It's like a
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, Sammy Hagar, David Lee Roth sort of situation.
Peter Gabriel, often forgotten.
Well,
but he was great.
And I'm not saying this.
Rest in peace, Peter Gabriel.
Not dead. But I do
definitely
think,
not dead.
I do think that song right there is one of the more iconic movie songs of all time.
Oh yeah.
And so when you get all Lloyd Dobler up in there and the boombox and the rolled up sleeves, I think a lot of people when they think Peter Gabriel just think Say Anything. And when you get I think that is it makes it easy for people to dismiss him or just be like, "Oh yeah, Peter Gabriel. Oh yeah, the boombox, you know, in your eyes." And I think that's a weird thing to be known.
I'd throw Salisbury Hill back at you.
But I think if you asked 100 people, I'll bet you 98 of them, when you say, what do you think of when you think of Peter Gabriel?
Oh.
They think of the boombox.
Well, of course.
And I think that kind of leads itself to an underappreciation of the rest of his work.
I would agree.
Yeah, whereas you think of Phil Collins.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, you got like 10 things come to mind. There's not one defining thing, and I think sometimes when you have one defining thing, even if it's great, leads to people only thinking you're good for that one thing.
Right. So we've got Thursday Night Football tonight. We've got Miami and Cincinnati.
Yes.
I saw that Joe Burrow entered the stadium with his cool, awesome suit.
What's his cool, awesome suit? What was he doing?
You didn't see it?
I didn't.
Well, you know, they do the strut into the stadium, right?
Like, yeah.
You know, you got to film that now.
Sure. It's become they do
and they wear all these.
It started in the NBA. It's become like their the fashion walk.
Yeah, and that was going to be my question. I'm going to sound like an old here for a moment.
Yeah, you are. Well, you already did your Twitter thing or your TikTok where you basically were saying that this guy does this one thing on TikTok, which is what everyone does on TikTok. So you're already 1,000 years old. So go ahead.
Okay, that was a lot there, but Joe Burrow. So I feel like these guys only dress this way just for this. So look at his suit that he's wearing.
Okay.
It's kind of pimp.
Well, how do I see it?
Well, I'm going to try to find it here.
Okay.
It didn't pop up right when I, but I'll show it to you. But he's got a flamboyant suit on.
Well, remember in the playoffs
here.
Last year when.
Look at that.
Oh,
flowers,
yeah.
Black
oh,
suit,
yeah.
White
yeah.
flowers.
Yeah, he's doing
white
the
T-shirt underneath.
Well, he's doing it because, you know, Cincinnati's going all black and white tonight.
Yeah.
So
he's got some green on there, though. That's cool ass suit.
I couldn't wear that suit.
No.
No.
And I don't feel like Joe Burrow can wear that suit. I just feel like I'm going to sound like an old, but don't they just wear these only for this walk? Like they're not – and it's a home game, so he drove from home with that suit on. He's not wearing that anywhere else.
That will go back in his closet.
Am I wrong?
And he will never wear that again.
Well, he may wear it. Maybe not.
No.
Those guys, like they wear
that is going,
like one and done.
That is going in the closet and will never be brought out
again.
But I just
mean like he's not going out in public with that suit, right?
Yeah.
He is wearing that suit for the car to the locker room walk.
Yeah.
And maybe the post-game press conference.
I think it was the AFC title game that he had on like the turtleneck with the Joe Burrow diamond pendant and like the hair swooped back. And then in the Super Bowl, I think he had a tiger stripe suit with like a cowboy hat. Yeah, Burrow is not walking around.
Is that all these guys though? Like
not O-linemen.
I feel like Russell
not.
Westbrook dresses like that normally.
He's a different cat. Cam Newton, I think, was the one that started it in the NFL.
Well, he definitely dresses like that normally.
Like Cam.
Ooh, Clinton Portis. I'm going to throw out Clinton Portis. He started doing that before Cam.
You know, it's weird. Like, I was in Denver his rookie year, and he was a really kind of quiet, reserved guy. And then he kind of morphed into this.
Portis?
Yeah. He was a really quiet, understated, really good dude. And then as he kind of went on in the NFL, and I think a lot of guys do this. And I knew Clinton a little bit. It's building a brand, right? Like you're trying to stand out, and you're trying to build your social media, and you're trying to build your commercial appeal. And this is a lot of that is that when you show up and you're rocking a tiger stripe suit, or in this case his flower suit with whatever is on there. Yeah, it drives clicks. It drives attention. Burrow has kind of embraced that Joe Namath, Joe Cool sort of thing.
Yeah, he does have a Joe Cool vibe about him.
Absolutely.
All right, well, Tua is hurt. They're saying that he's going to play tonight, but they're saying watch out because that back injury, the way he throws the ball, it is going to affect him tonight.
Yeah.
So
well, we'll see. They got a bunch of guys that are beat up.
Right? Yeah, but they're like Waddle's playing. And,
yeah, all these guys are
Armstead's playing.
All these guys are going to play, but it's – pay attention to this because you see this. It's as you get into the season, and not that we're 10 weeks in, but you start getting a couple weeks into the season even, and you start seeing MASH units on injury reports, right? Tua's dealing with multiple things. Waddle's dealing with things. Armstead's dealing with things. Xavien Howard's dealing with things. And you remember, this is Thursday. Normally, you get Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then have to play. I'm telling you, 3 days makes a world of difference when you're talking about recovery. So these guys have had to go through the entire week. Some of them haven't practiced. Some of them have basically had to do walkthroughs at this point. And it can have an effect, especially when you're the road team on these Thursday night games, when you're pretty chipped up.
So the Dolphins were practicing, I think, at the University of Cincinnati Stadium.
Yeah.
And somebody was filming them and sending the vids to Twitter or social media.
Yeah, I think Barstool had some. And
did you see what Mike McDaniel did?
Yeah, he started bringing out 12 offensive players.
He started putting 12 men on offense. Dude, that guy, I am down with Mike McDaniel.
It's like, go ahead, film this.
Yeah. See what you can pick up.
See what you can get out of this.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, my big thing watching this tonight is Cincinnati's offensive line, and to an extent, Joe Burrow. They can't keep doing this. Burrow won't survive. He's been sacked and hit more than any quarterback through the first 3 weeks of the season. They're 1-2, and it's starting when you watch Joe Burrow play, he's starting to see ghosts. Even when he has time to throw, he's not throwing on time. He's panicked in the pocket. He is not having great pocket awareness. And so this revamped offensive line that you spent money on and you replaced, I think, three of five or might have even been four or five starters – it has to start playing better, and Joe Burrow has to start trusting that protection. Because if they don't, I mean, if they lose to Miami tonight at home on a Thursday night and you go to 1-3, you have just dug yourself a giant asshole. And so that's what I'm looking for tonight, better play from the offensive line and Burrow starting to trust that O-line and getting the ball out on time.
I feel like tonight's game, it's just a bad spot for Miami.
Yes.
You know, because the Bengals need a win.
And you're beat up.
And they know the Dolphins are undefeated. It's a short week on the road. And they are coming off a really tough game, Dolphins are, against Buffalo.
Yep.
I just think it's got a tough spot for them. So this will tell you a lot. Like, if they can win this game, I feel like just based on the spot that they're in, watch out because they'll be 4-0. And I mean, it's just a tough. I don't know. I just feel, every once in a while in the NFL you get these spots where even though a team may be better than the other team, or
it's just one of those games
where they might crap the bed because of all the various circumstances that are out of their control.
Yeah, I feel like this is one where Cincinnati needs this. They should win this game at home on a Thursday night with as beat up as Miami is.
Do you like news? Do you want the news?
I love news.
Do you want the news?
I demand it.
Okay. Well, the never-ending Pasta Bowl is back.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's at Olive Garden, right?
That's at Olive Garden. How did you know that?
Let me just ask, has anyone in the history of mankind ever gone to the Olive Garden, eaten a big-ass plate of fettuccine Alfredo and thought, you know what, that's not enough?
I need more. Oh, well, I think a lot of people.
I just had breadsticks, soup, 7 Diet Cokes.
Will just popped his head out. He pointed at himself.
No.
He's all about it.
It's a young man's game. When I was young, I saw it a lot.
How old is Will? 24. Okay.
Will, your big ass does not need a second helping of pasta. And everyone else at the Olive Garden thinking about going tonight, you do not need another bowl of pasta, let alone never-ending pasta.
Now, you may think that we're talking about Will Darkins. We're talking about Will Ortner,
yes,
who is one of our new guys here. And he's great because he is basically Souk, only younger, better looking, and much cheaper. So you better watch out.
Will Darkins could definitely eat 3 or 4 bowls of pasta. He could use it.
But I feel like Will is still at that age where he could pound pasta. Pasta and it doesn't change his body. Like, he's skinny, you know. It's like, dude, wait 10 years and you see what that second tub of pasta does.
You see what
the
first tub does to you.
Yes. Do it.
It's not good. All right. Well, anyway, that was a tease. In the news is next. Here's Patrick.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yeah. In the Ferrari or Jaguar, switching 4 lanes. Top down, screaming out, money ain't a thing.
Bubble hard in the double law, flash the rims with the window crack. Holla back, money ain't a thing.
Prime time with Isaac and Silk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. It is.
Real quick, this guy says my brother-in-law is a waiter at Olive Garden.
Oh.
He said when the endless pasta deal was going, he said it was grotesque how much people would eat.
Yeah, I bet.
Let me just, again, for the record, just because it says all you can eat doesn't mean you have to eat all you can eat. No one has ever ate themselves to the point where they're like, I can't eat another bite, and then gotten up and walked away and was like, hey, that was a great decision. I feel really good about myself. Stop. We are not meant to do that. This isn't the
but it's free.
This isn't the like the
but well, it's free.
This isn't the olden days when it was the only meal you might have for like a week. When you get home and you open your refrigerator, there's more food.
Yeah, the whole all-you-can-eat thing is never.
No.
It's never been a thing for me.
It's just it's.
But I'm also not a fat guy.
I have had to learn over the years as a lineman that it's not. When you see all-you-can-eat, I don't want to go to a place that says all-you-can-eat. That is bad.
All right. It is September 29, 2022. Time now for In the News. I'm your noted newsman. Hello. Thank you. I am carbon neutral. It is national.
So you say.
It is National Coffee Day. I have a coffee story for you later.
Can't stand it.
3 cups of coffee, you live longer. Seriously, new study.
Yeah, why is that exactly?
I don't know. Just go with it.
All right.
It's also Goose Day.
Oh, like
do you like Gooses?
Like Maverick and Goose?
That's my new favorite band, Goose.
Yeah, you were wearing a shoot the a shirt.
Shoot, whoa. Shoot. He a said shirt. Shoot.
Another vowel in there. You'd have been getting fired.
I saw that. You had like it looked like a Reese's peanut butter cup, but it turned out it was a what is Goose?
Goose is a jam band from Connecticut.
Oh, you're a jam. That's right. You're a Dave Matthews guy, aren't you?
He's a big.
I'm more of a Dead guy than anything.
Yeah, he's a Deadhead. Did you know that?
But half of the Dead is dead. So
true. Two most famous Deadheads: Bill Walton and Patrick Harris.
Patrick Harris.
Oh, that is awesome company.
Dude, I tried. I've said it before. I tried going to a Grateful Dead show, and believe me, I took whatever was handed to me, and I still just did not understand it at all. I don't get it.
And do you like jam bands though? Like, does Widespread do anything for you?
Blues Traveler's a jam band, but it's not to the level of Widespread or Fish or.
Yeah. Widespread's great. Fish is trash.
I can't handle a 19-minute jam.
Fish is trash.
I can't.
I love band takes. People are like, one band's great, the other band sucks.
This band that's been touring for 30 years and sells out every show sucks.
Look, mushrooms can make me like anything. I can go into the woods and hug a tree for like an hour on mushrooms, but it still doesn't make me like a 26-minute bass solo. I can't. It's just not my cup of tea.
John Mayer is playing bass. I mean, Victor Wooten's really good.
John Mayer now. Yeah, he's with the Dead.
Yeah,
he's fantastic.
Yeah, I guess
in the
he's
Dead.
Great.
Yeah,
fantastic.
People love him.
John Mayer is a really talented dude.
And like once in a while, like "Friend of the Devil" is a good Grateful Dead song, but it's like 4 minutes. Like just play that.
All I know is what's that one? I will get by. You know that?
That was like their only.
That's "Touch of Grey." It's their only hit.
It's their only hit.
Now, let me guess. I know nothing really about the Dead. I was never into them. I know that song because it was commercially popular. Let me guess. All the Deadheads hate "I Will Get By" or whatever.
Touch
of
Grey.
Touch of Grey.
Right? Don't even play that, bro.
It gets played a lot.
Don't even play that, bro.
It gets played a lot.
That's crap, bro.
Think about it. In all their career, that is their only. It's like I think it was their only top five hit ever.
And why was that?
And it came out in the '80s.
Oh, it's just a catchy.
Yeah, but they didn't have anything else that was catchy.
Because everything else is 32 minutes.
The studio.
And you need acid. Mushrooms don't even get you. You need acid, and I'm not willing to go that far.
The studio wanted to keep dumping the Dead. They were like, why do we have these guys? They can't produce a hit. And
right.
In 1982, Touch of Grey was a hit.
I will get my.
Wait, did you just go?
Is
Bob Dylan?
Bob Dylan's going to take
Bob
over.
Bob Dylan and Tom Petty. Like, the Traveling Wilburys apparently are now the lead singers of the Grateful Dead.
Rest in peace, Grateful Dead. Okay. Right. So, the never-ending pasta bowl is back at Olive Garden.
Don't. Stop it.
Why?
I'm telling everyone out there.
Been 2 years.
I'm going to go out. There's an Olive Garden right by my house. I'm going to stand in front of it with a sign just saying, hey, you don't need all-you-can-eat pasta. And then if people aren't listening, I'm going to bring out another one that says, hey, fat ass, you don't need more pasta.
So this is a big deal. So it was 2 years ago, and it was beloved, their promotion of never-ending pasta bowl.
Why is this popular?
Well, because people like to get fat. They like to eat. And it just feels like value. Right?
That's what it is, value.
Shoving value into my mouth, and it tastes good. So fans of the chain restaurant began speculating about the promotion's return Monday when Olive Garden sent rewards members an email featuring a noodle-colored infinity loop and the words, "The countdown is on."
Do you think before the staff, when they're doing this, they all get together and they huddle around like the apocalypse is about to come? They're just ready for these rhinos just piling in. They're like, "All right, boys, it's going to be a hell of a night. Let's get through this together." They hold hands. They say a prayer. Right?
Probably is a little bit like that.
More pasta!
You think they line up outside before they open?
Open, open, open. Just their Cheeto fingers rubbing on the glass, waiting to get in.
McDonald's news.
Let's keep it coming. All you can eat McNuggets?
No, they are producing a Happy Meal for adults now. Adult-oriented Happy Meals.
Oh.
Complete with a free toy.
You know what? Why not? What sort of toy are we getting? Is it an adult toy? Because that would be a wild turn for McDonald's.
They're calling it the Cactus Plant Flea Market Box. It is a collaboration between McDonald's and the famous streetwear brand, and it will roll out to participating stores October 3rd. The Happy Meal will feature either a Big Mac or a 10-piece chicken McNuggets.
Okay.
And then you get soda and fries and your little toy.
You get a little toy, but they don't say what the toy is.
One of four collectible figurines of McDonald's mascots, Grimace, the Hamburglar, and Birdie, as well as a Cactus Buddy.
You know what? I love the Hamburglar. He was like one of my favorite childhood characters. I always joke that I want a raccoon. If I ever get one, I'm naming him the Hamburglar. I might have to go get an adult Happy Meal just so I can get... Can I ask specifically for the Hamburglar figurine?
I don't know. I don't know if you can do that, man.
I'd be pissed if I go there and they give me, you know, Grimace or whatever.
Well, some of the fun as a kid of getting the Happy Meal was, what's in there?
Yeah, but if you've already had Mayor McCheese and then I get like another Mayor McCheese, what am I supposed to do?
You're supposed to go back. It's the whole bit.
By the way, this can't be true. Someone is saying that McDonald's is now offering a 50-piece chicken McNugget for $10.
Wow.
That can't be. He said, are we not fat enough? That can't be. 50 nuggets? Is there anyone that's driving through and is like, I want the 50 nuggets?
Well, based on the last break, it sounds like Will Ortner would be into it.
50 nuggets?
Will was telling me he was kicked out of an Applebee's recently for all-you-can-eat wing night.
He just gave us the thumbs up on the 50 nuggets.
Yeah, he's all about it.
He's going to learn.
Oh, see, he will.
Because he's 24, and he's an O-lineman, but he's still in good shape because he just got done playing. Will's going to realize that one of two things is going to happen. A lifestyle change is going to go down, or he's going to wake up one day and be 335 and be like, damn it. I'm about ready to lose a foot to the diabetes.
So who's Dickard asks, who's fatter, the people waiting in line for this deal or the people that are on the GD Olive Garden email list? Good question.
I didn't know there was an Olive Garden email list. Oh, the tour of Italy. Let's go. You've been to Italy.
I have.
Did you go to eat an Olive Garden? Is there an Olive Garden in Italy?
No. Well, maybe, but I didn't see one.
Wouldn't that be something?
I can tell you, you've been there, right?
I have not been to Italy.
When you eat your way through Italy, the pasta and the dishes are nothing like here. Like, they're light.
Yes.
It's light.
I know.
We are the ones that fatten them up.
Well, of course. Look at us. Well, I love it. Like, Asian food is some of the healthiest food in the world. Like, they live forever. They're all thin over there. You ever go to a Chinese restaurant? It's not quite the same thing.
That's New York Chinese.
Yes. I'm desperate to know if there... I'm looking this up to see if there is an Olive Garden in Italy. And if so, does anyone go to it? Because that would be the ultimate... Like, if you want the ultimate selfie, right? Everyone's got to do everything for the gram. The ultimate gram photo of all time would be you going to Italy on this grand whirlwind tour and then just sitting down at the Olive Garden for some unlimited breadsticks and pasta.
All right, up next, we take a look at one of the big crime hotspots here in town, Jansen Beach.
Oh.
Yeah, did you know that?
Actually, I kind of did. I went on a ride-along once, and I found that out.
It's nasty up there.
Yeah, like, well, we'll discuss.
It's 449 on The Fan.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
On 1080 The Fan.
I am seeing here that there is an Olive Garden in Italy.
And you didn't go.
Spaghetti-ria. Spaghetti-ria is what they call it.
But it's not. But it's an Olive Garden? It's owned by Olive... Oh, yeah, I see it right here.
Yeah. No, it says, if you like Olive Garden, this is almost as good.
Oh.
If you like good food, do not go here.
By the way, it's got 1.5 stars.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you gotta watch out. You know, sometimes... You know, the big tell... They always said the big telltale sign when you're in Italy, like, it's kind of hard to know where to eat, right? There's a lot of places.
Sure.
And you don't know which ones are like the really good ones.
Yeah.
We took a tour in Venice with a, you know, on, you can, they do the social media tours where some guy just says, hey, I'll take you out for the night and show you a couple nice spots.
Sure.
Right? It's, we did that with a guy, and I'm glad we did because he showed us all kinds of places and kind of what to look for. And the telltale sign, most people know this, but the telltale sign is when they're out there on the street begging you to come in,
yeah, it's not,
run.
Yeah.
And that's what they would be doing at Olive Garden there in Italy, I would imagine.
When I was in NFL Europe, the guy that I bummed around with, great dude, and he was from Arkansas. And he had never really been outside of Arkansas. His name was Kenny. Had a big old Southern, and Kenny was awesome. Loved him. But let's just say that Kenny did not have a refined palate. And so we got to go tour all over Europe together. And I swear to God, no matter where we went, you know what Kenny would look for? Burger King.
Yeah, baby.
And it just...
He liked that charbroiled.
Drove me insane. I'm like, Kenny, man, we're in Spain. Like, let's go out. Like, we got a per diem. Let's go eat. And he's like, I saw Burger King down the road. No! We're not going to Burger King.
I feel
King.
Like that's what your brother would do.
And it just... It broke my heart. We had Burger King in every country we went to. And that's all he didn't want to. I'm like, just try with me. We're in Germany. Let's go find a, we're in Frankfurt. Let's go find a wonderful German place, like with some brats and some beer. Wow, there's a Burger King right there. Like, oh my, it was like being with Hank Hill. It just broke my heart. He was such a wonderful man, but wow. The worst person if you were looking to eat anywhere in Europe. Imagine going to like 9 European countries and all you're looking for is a Burger King.
Dude, that's like my nightmare. Traveling with someone who you just don't, you're on totally separate pages.
And he was my roommate. He went everywhere with me.
I would just leave.
And if it wasn't Burger King, you know what is available in every country? It'll blow Subway.
Oh,
there
really?
Is a Subway in every freaking country over there.
God.
And he would find it.
Stanford's restaurant and bar at Jansen Beach has temporarily closed due to what the restaurant describes on social media as safety and security concerns.
Oh, boy. What, the roving gangs are going over from the Big and Tall and the Sephora over into the Stanfords? Like, what? Is that bad? It's bad, yes.
I guess it's bad on Jansen Beach. The move comes about 2 months after the nearby Cracker Barrel abruptly shuttered, reportedly due to similar safety issues.
I did read about the Cracker Barrel shutting down, yeah.
So the Portland Police Bureau's monthly neighborhood crime dashboard shows 744 reported offenses on Hayden Island so far this year.
Oh, gosh.
Roughly on track to match last year's total of 1,140 incidents.
Yeah, we're doing great.
The 744 figure means the island has seen more crime incidents than a majority of Portland's other neighborhoods so far this year.
Now, I can't say that I spend a lot of time at Jansen Beach. There is a... what is that? There is a Duluth Trading Company right there that maybe I'll swing by every now and then, or JB's to get a Pazuki, or is it BJ's?
BJ's.
Yeah. So that's the only time I'm in there. But I was at a. I was
what
on
is a Pazuki.
It's the Pazuki is wonderful. It's a cast iron skillet cookie with ice cream on top.
Oh,
it is dynamite. I can't say that I go to BJ's for any other reason, but the Pazuki, worthwhile.
Okay.
But I went on a ride along with my buddy. And I didn't know this. Like, if you go behind Jansen Beach, that area there, like where the hotels, there's a bunch of like trailer parks and stuff over there. And he said we responded to a couple domestic violence calls over there, and he knew their name. He didn't have to look up the address. And he's like, dude, he goes, you wouldn't believe what goes on back there. That's a whole other world. I didn't even know existed behind Jansen Beach, but I guess it's
a scene.
It's a scene. Like, you over there, like where the car toys is, you keep going down that road.
Yeah.
I guess it is.
Yeah, I've been down there.
I guess it is Thunderdome.
Isn't that where you get to Kelly Point Park?
Yeah.
And way down there?
I think that's also where you go to get meth. So just...
Huh. Kill two birds with one stone.
He gave me the tip. Just in case you're looking for a nice two-bedroom, don't buy in this neighborhood. It's a little sketch.
We are big Target shoppers.
Yeah.
We are a big, big Target household. And that Target is by far the worst Target in the greater metropolitan area. They have nothing. It is completely ransacked. And you can go in there and you can see people walking with full carts full of stuff. And they just walk out the front door.
They probably just walk over to their home right behind
it. They walk out the front door and nobody says a thing.
That's what this guy says. He's a texter to our program. And he says, I live on Hayden Island. Tweakers everywhere. private security patrols. The gas station has full-time security guards on duty.
That is
I've seen many people walk out of Target with full carts straight to their cars. It's nuts.
Yeah, because occasionally I stop at that Chevron. Now,
but I got to pay 5 cents for a bag.
That Chevron right there does have, when you get out, there are full security guards roaming the...
So they stalk you.
Yeah, yeah. It's I've noticed that, because now that I go... But we're here, I take I-5 home, so sometimes I'll swing in there and grab gas. And I didn't really put two and two together, but it did throw me a little bit that there is an outside security guard roaming around that parking lot at the Chevron. Now we know why.
Well, on that note, I'll give you this story, and then we'll get out of here. But cops per capita, saw this in the Willamette Week, Portland ranks 48th among 50 big cities for cops per capita.
Yeah. We don't have a bunch.
So we had a big hiring spree last week, but they're still trying to beef it up.
Yeah, they're trying.
We ain't got no cops.
No,
yet.
And depending on the day and the time of like the shift changes and whatnot, there's days where they are ridiculously understaffed, which is why if it's not life and death, it's sometimes hard to get someone to come out.
So they just hired 20 new dudes or new officers, I should say, not dudes. They have now 791 cops. Portland has 1.2 police for every 1,000 people in the city.
I'm guessing that's not a good rate.
48th among 50. The 50 largest cities in the United States, we rank damn near the bottom. I'm trying to figure out which two are worse.
Who's worse than us so that we can shame them? Let's look down our noses at them.
It looks like
San Francisco.
By the way, you know what city has the most cops per 1,000 population?
Dallas.
Why did you guess Dallas?
Texas.
Yeah.
Oh.
Washington, D.C.
Okay.
Chicago, Baltimore, New York. To the top five.
Well, Chicago's doing great, so.
The only two worse, San Jose and Bakersfield.
Ew.
Like, California has, like, Fresno, San Diego, Sacramento, San Jose, and Bakersfield are all at the bottom. The only one that's not in California near the bottom is Portland.
Portland. Interesting. Now, I can't say I've been to San Jose, but I was in San Francisco last year for a concert. You've been to San Francisco, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Many times.
The hilarious part about San Francisco is Union Square, right? The middle of the city where they do the big Christmas tree lighting. It's the city center, and they've got all the fancy shops. There is an armed cop, not a security guard. There is an actual cop there, gun on every single corner, like in front of almost every shop. But if you go four blocks outside of Union Square, it is thunder freaking dome. It is, you're just like, what? You're walking around and you're just stepping over just masses of humanity. And you're like, oh my God, I'm going to die. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, here's like 900 cops right here. And you're like, what happened? I'm like, oh, Louis Vuitton store. Like, they only protect Union Square. But once you get outside of Union Square, like into the Tenderloin and all that, do whatever you want to do. Hey, don't commit crime here. Go four blocks that way, and we're not going to pay attention to it.
I think I'm going to buy armed guards for my house. Instead of plants guarding the front door, it's going to be two guys with machine guns.
Look at your neighbor, right? And you have that ex-Marine?
I don't know if he's a Marine. Are you talking about Joe?
Yeah.
Joe will shoot you.
There you go. Just pay Joe $50. He'll patrol for, you know.
Yeah, Joe's watching, too.
Yeah,
boy.
Joe's looking for
him. That guy. He's that neighbor that sees everything.
He's like, just give me a reason. Give me a reason.
All right, we got to go. The Hot 5 at 5 is coming up next. We also have Roppin' the Bank coming up at 5:30. Right now it's 5:02.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.